Take your Bible to 1 Kings, if you will, chapter 14. Now, I want to tell you right up front this morning, you're going to have to listen on purpose. I'm going to preach to you a different message, different kind of way than I normally preach. Normally, I read the scripture and I preach the message. I'm not going to do that this morning. I usually read the scripture and then give an introduction, and then the introduction's usually kind of short, and the message can be longer. Well, it's not going to be that way today, all right? The introduction will be longer, message will be shorter, all right? But if you get lost in the introduction, I'm going to lose you all the way around, so I don't want you to get lost, all right? I want you to just stick with me a little bit this morning, please. This is Father's Day. And I want to preach to the dads, but now, ladies, I want you to do me a favor. Would you not listen just so you can find the point where you can poke him? Would you not listen and just go, I think that's right there for you? Don't do that. Don't do that, because what I'm saying for him is good for you too. If you're here this morning, you're a teenager, you said, I'm not a dad. That's all right. You've got a dad. And you need to hear the message this morning. And I'm going to give the introduction. Then I'm going to read the scripture. And then I'm going to preach, all right? So it's going to be a little bit different today. Normally, when you think of family, it's hard for us to talk about families and kids and parents without comparing kids to parents. That starts at a young age. Young age. I've got two pictures that were sent to us this morning by Mrs. Whitaker of her latest edition grandchild. But I guarantee you, somebody has already looked at that little young'un and said, well, look just like his dad. Or looks just like his mother. And I'll be honest with you, every kid I've ever seen as a baby looks just like that baby. Man, people say, well, just like a dad. I go, wait a minute, the only resemblance I can see is he got two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, just like a dad does. Man, but people can come up, and we invariably compare them. And then as they get older, that comparison continues. Because the day comes that dad says, you're acting just like your mother. Or the day comes where mom says, you're acting like your daddy now. We compare them, all right? And even after they're grown, they get grown, we have that kind of comparison, because people look at their kids and they say, well, they don't seem like they're going to be as successful as their parents. That doesn't look like they're going to make the grand success that their parent made. Maybe they're not going to be as good a cook. Not going to be as good a housekeeper. They're not going to be able to keep the family business going. And we go on and on. Hey, the truth of the matter is, in the professional world, most kids can't measure up to super successful parents. Just doesn't happen. It oftentimes doesn't happen. I give you some examples. Anybody here ever heard of Harry Winston? Anybody here ever heard of Harry Winston? I'd never heard of Harry Winston in my life until I got this book that I've got that I'm almost through reading. Harry Winston was probably the greatest diamond merchant of the last century. If you're like me, you say, no wonder I didn't know who he was. Can't afford those things, right? But, I mean, he probably was the greatest one. I mean, it was he and his wife that donated the Hope Diamond to the Smithsonian Institution. In buying and selling, especially diamonds, he made an incredible fortune. Millions and millions of dollars. Built up a huge business. Had his business on Fifth Avenue in New York City. Famous the world over, sold diamonds to the Sultan Sheikhs and the kings and princes all around the world. And it was his habit to buy the biggest diamonds he could find. Very successful. His son, Ronald, followed his dad into that business. He was really almost kind of pushed into that business, and he very reluctantly followed him into it, but he couldn't keep it going. Couldn't keep it going. But his is not the only deal like that. Think of other famous people, entertainers. I think of Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra was obviously had a tremendous voice, was a great singer. Had a son, Frank Sinatra Jr. He sang. Not as good as dad. That mean he wasn't any good. He just wasn't as good as dad. Just didn't measure up to that. In the sports world, we see it. I've been reading throughout kind of the last few weeks about Deion Sanders' son and the argument about whether or not he's going to make it as big as dad did in the professional football world. And they think, well, he won't. Talking to my son-in-law this morning about this situation, and he mentioned LeBron James and Bronny, his son. Well, the jury's out. We don't know if he'll be as good as his dad. The truth of the matter is most of them are not. Most of them cannot reach that. Now, there's exceptions. There's exceptions. I was talking to, once again, Ben this morning, and I brought up Judy Garland. Now, that's a name some of you don't remember. But if you've watched, and you may think of her this way, she was on The Wizard of Oz. And her daughter was Liza Minnelli. Both of them very, very famous. Achieved great fame in the entertainment world. Then I think in the football world. By the way, I'm not a fan of Judy Garland or Liza Minnelli. But I am a fan of football. And I can remember when I was a kid, Archie Manning came out of Mississippi State and was drafted to quarterback, that red-headed fellow. And he had a pretty decent career in the professional ranks. But he had two sons, Peyton and Eli, both of which surpassed his accomplishments in the NFL. That's an exception. Most don't do it. Most don't do it. I think of preachers. Being a preacher, I've known a lot of preachers. Being a preacher, I know a lot of preachers' kids. I know so many of them that messed up in life. Messed up in life. The truth of the matter is, they made their parents look bad. By the way, you can make your parents look bad. You can make them look bad. Take your Bible, let's go. Don't lose your place in 1 Kings 14. I promise you we're going to get there. But go, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16, would you? Ezekiel chapter 16. I want you to notice there's a verse here, an interesting verse. In Ezekiel 16, verse 44, the Bible says this. Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Hey, oftentimes, ladies, your daughter is not going to rise much above you. They're just not. It doesn't normally happen. I thank God for a mother-in-law that taught my wife how to cook. I'm awful glad she did, because my mom was an excellent cook. And when I married, there was no problem in that shift over. I didn't go from a good cook to a mediocre or a poor cook. I went from a good cook to another good cook, and I'm an advertisement for both of them, all right? Hey, I appreciate that fact. But the Bible says, hey, biblically, you can make your parents look bad. Biblically, you can make your parents look bad if you go astray. Because the Bible says we're to train up our children. We're to train up our children. I think in the scriptures of Eli the priest. Eli the priest had two sons. His two sons made him look bad. They were wicked. They were evil. Two extremely ungodly individuals. And they besmirched the memory and the reputation of their dad by their evil conduct. Hey, you can do that to your parents. I tell you, you're looking at a preacher right here. You're looking at a son that never wanted to bring reproach on his dad. Boy, I never wanted anybody to think bad of my dad because of me. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted dad to look good. But I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of a lad who made dad look bad. A lad who made dad look bad. You're there at 1 Kings 14, verse 1. At that time, Ahijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to the wife as the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people, and take with thee 10 loaves and crackers and a cruse of honey. Go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." Now I want you to drop down to verse 12. This is what the prophet, part of what he said to Jeroboam's wife. Said, "And all Israel shall mourn for him." That's the child. Let me start in verse 12. "Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." I submit to you, Jeroboam's son was a lad that made dad look bad. Now, not in the sense that Eli's son made Eli look bad. But as a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, made his dad look bad because the son was a cut above the dad. I want you to see three things the way he did it. First of all, I want you to see it was his youth. It was his youth that caused it to happen. Look what 1 Kings 14 verse 18 says. "And they buried him," that's that child, "and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet." Hey, when Abijah died, the whole nation mourned for him. The whole nation. Now, the Bible says he was a child. We don't know exactly how old he was, but because of the customs and the circumstances of that day, he couldn't have been over 12 years old. So he's at least 12 or under, and he is there as a child. And when that child died, the whole nation mourned. Now, we put it into the thoughts of today. What child would the whole nation of the United States mourn if we knew that child died? You say, "Well, the president, he has a son." Yeah, but there's people that hate the president so bad, they'd rejoice if his child died. The whole nation wouldn't rejoice. The whole nation wouldn't rejoice. Hey, the whole nation wouldn't mourn either. But man, the whole nation mourned when Abijah died. The whole nation. But he was yet a youth. He was so young. They mourned for him. But on the other hand, they didn't do that for Jeroboam. You see, when Jeroboam died, it was a completely different situation. Folks didn't get excited. They didn't mourn for him. Instead, his circumstance, look in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Now, in 2 Chronicles 21, it's not talking about Jeroboam, but it's the situation of Jehoram is almost like that of Jeroboam when he died. Second Chronicles 21, verse 20. Here's one, to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, if you will. The Bible said, 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being desired. He departed without being desired. How sad a commentary that a king could die, and the Bible said he departed without being desired. But when Jeroboam died, the nation didn't mourn. It was just, all right, he's dead, who's next? The nation didn't mourn at all, but they did for that youth. Hey, can I say this to you? The longer you live, the more credit, however you want to put it, the more goodwill you should build in life, and therefore the more people that ought to mourn when you pass. You ought to so live that it would affect people, and the more, the longer you live, the more would mourn. Now, I realize some people live so long that they outlive all their friends and all their fans, if you would, and so the crowd's small at their funeral. I'm thankful that when my mom died at 91 years of age, a preacher's wife, but this auditorium was packed at her funeral. That is a testimony to the life she lived. A life she lived. I've often thought when I die, people will come just to make sure I'm dead, all right? But boy, when mom died, the building was full. And people mourned her passing. Hey, the longer you live, the more goodwill you should generate, the more good you ought to do, the more people you ought to touch for good and for right, and it ought to be a blessing. And more folks ought to show up at your funeral, okay? Wasn't that way with Jeroboam. His son outshone him. Hey, that lad made dad look bad. Made dad look bad. His youth did that. Not only that, his position. Hey, he was the son. He was the son. Can I say this to you, you young people that are here? You're not to be the one that sets the example. The example is to be set by your parents. Mom and dad, I told you, ladies, I didn't want you to get this point and poke dad. Because the example is to be set by both of you. Hey, we're to set the example in the home. It's our job to do that. Now, I know the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, all right? But hey, in the home, God expects mom and dad to have that position. It should have been dad, it should have been Jeroboam that stepped up, okay? Now, let me remind you of what Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to turn there quickly, you can. Ephesians chapter 6 and one verse over there, verse 4 says, it's so important that we remember this verse, all right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says this, speaking to dads, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's our job. That's what we're to do. We're to bring them up in the nurture. We're to nurture them. We're to teach them. We're to train them. Hey, Dad, you're to be the leader. God help you. Your wife's not to be the leader. You're to be the leader. You're to step up. You're to teach. You're to train. And that teaching and that training is not usually in sessions where you go, okay, kids, here you go, on the couch, on the couch. All right, listen up. We're going to instruct you today. No, it's not carried on that way. It's carried on day after day, every day, watching you. Hey, we're to lead by example and by exposition. Most people want to lead by exposition. So what do you mean? In other words, you do what I say, not what I do. You're not a leader, and that won't get the job done, all right? Hey, you're to step up. You're to take that lead. You're to be the one that's out front and says, here's the way you do it. Here's the way you ought to walk. Here's the way you ought to live your life. Hey, you need to lead that way. Can I just say this, interject this real quick? Parents, you need to learn to say no to your children. You need to learn to say no to your kids. All right? You're the one to lead them. Hey, young people, I know you may go to school with tons of kids that run the house and rule the roost, but that is not what you're to be. Your parents are to run that show. They will stand before God one day to give an account for what they've done in teaching and training you. They're going to answer for that. Hey, that's the job of the parent. That was Jeroboam's job. But Jeroboam didn't get the job done, so his son was the lad that made dad look bad. Because he stepped up beyond what dad did. And not only in his youth and by his position, but in his testimony. You still have your Bible open there in 1 Kings chapter 14. Oh, I like what it says in one way, but in another way it's amazing in verse 14. All right? No, excuse me, verse 13. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Hey, the Bible said there was some good found in him. Do you realize the implication there? The implication is that there was no good found in Jeroboam. There was some good found in that child. There was no good found in Jeroboam. What a testimony. Oh, what a shame if you live your life and somebody has, oh, what can you say good about him? What can you say good about her? Oh, well. Hey, people ought not to have to think a long time. Shouldn't have to be that way. But the testimony of Abijah the son far outweighed that of Jeroboam. Hey, that lad made dad look bad. This made dad look bad. Can I just draw the message to a close this morning with this thought? Your life. Your life. Is there some good? Or is there a lot of good? You know, I want to say this to you. You can change the situation. You can change the situation. You may be grown today and be an adult, and you were a lousy child. You were a lousy son or a lousy daughter. Rebellious, bitter. I've seen that happen in a lot of preachers' kids. You say, preacher, what did your dad do different? I don't know. Because I never grew up but in one home. So I don't know what dad did different from anybody else. But I know my brother and I never grew up bitter. We were never aggravated. We were never mad that our dad was a preacher. I don't ever remember either one of us saying to the other one, we never said to the other one, doggone, I wish you didn't have to go to church today. We never said that. Then what did they do right? I feel like everything. Can I say this to you? You don't have to make a mess of raising your kids. Now, you may have made a mess of it up till now. It's just hit or miss, but you don't have to keep going that way. You can change that. You may be here as a parent and your kids are grown. You're grown. They're grown. And you ought to go to them, look them in the eye and say, I just want you to know I'm sorry. Because I didn't do the job I should have done. And I want you to forgive me for it. But maybe you're here as a kid and you need to go to your parents and say, hey, I'm sorry. Because I've rebelled against you and I've fought against you. You ought to make things right. You ought to have a testimony. That testimony of you should be at least there's some good in you. Don't blame somebody else. I don't think Abijah set out in life to make dad look bad. It wasn't Abijah's fault, it's dad's fault. Jeroboam. I think I've known kids that set out in life to make their parents look bad. Maybe that's you. And you ought to come to this altar and get right with God. Hey, but parents, don't let, you know what it ought to be? It ought to be a contest, not really a contest, but it ought to be everything you could do to keep yourself what you ought to be so your kids won't make you look bad because they got a better testimony than you do. But you ought to so live that you'd teach them and train them, and you could be extremely proud of the testimony they grew up with. They grew up with. Man, it ought to be there. Hey, I'm a preacher this morning partially because of the good testimony of my dad. Now, Dad didn't call me to preach. Dad never pressured me to surrender to preach. Dad never said, "Son, do you think God wants you to preach?" Never said that. But because he had a testimony that he did, when God spoke to me, I did not resist that call. I didn't fight that call. Hey, look, your life makes a difference for your family. Your life's going to make a difference for your kids. Abijah was a lad that made his dad look bad, but it was because his dad did bad. Now, how about you? Hey, do you need to make some changes this morning? There's a need to be a difference in your life. Well, the altar's here. Would you come this morning? Would you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for testimony from the Bible. Lord, I ask you today to just bless and guide and direct. Bless during the invitation time. Lord, may you speak to hearts. May you use the simple, struggling message to touch people's hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, God Speaking to You, as we sing, "Just As I Am Without One Plea."